AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. The death toll now tops 5,000 from yesterday's powerful 7.8 earthquake along the Turkish-Syrian border. Search teams and emergency aid are pouring in from around the world as rescuers dig through the rubble in freezing cold weather, hoping to find survivors. Correspondent Cammie McCormick.
In the Syrian city of Aleppo,
it's now a race against time.
World Health Organization Chief Tedros Ghebreyesus says many areas may still be inaccessible.
We're especially concerned about areas where we do not yet have information.
Damage mapping is being conducted to understand where the focus should be. Search teams are arriving from around the world.
Turkey's president has declared a three-month state of emergency. President Biden says he hopes to have a conversation with the American people during tonight's State of the Union address. Our new CBS News poll finds he might be disappointed if they could respond. Deputy Director of Surveys Jennifer DePinto.
When we asked people to describe the state of the country, they picked the word divided most of all. 62% of Americans said that, and many also said declining and weak. Far fewer, just about 1 in 10, said strong or prospering when describing the country.
The U.S. trade deficit widened in December by 10.5% to its widest gap on record. The Commerce Department says dependence on imports grew as demand for consumer goods and cars picked up. BP Oil is reporting record profits of more than $27 billion for 2022. That's double the year before. Alice Harrison with the nonprofit group Global Witness accuses the industry of profiting from tragedy.
There is the war in the Ukraine, which is a war that's being waged with oil and gas money. And of course, there's the climate crisis. And at the center of all of those crises are a handful of oil and gas companies that last year got even richer.
The judge says prosecutors at Alex Murdoch's murder trial can use important evidence of financial crimes against the disgraced lawyer. Correspondent Nikki Batiste is in Walterboro, South Carolina.
2 weeks after this trial began, the judge's ruling marks a potential breakthrough for the prosecution. They say Alex Murdoch was stealing money from his law firm and clients and claim he killed his wife and son to gain sympathy before his alleged fraud came to light.
Health experts are worried the craze over prescription drugs that help you slim down are keeping them out of the hands of diabetics and the severely obese. CBS News medical contributor Dr. Celine Gounder says the side effects of Ozempic and Wegovy can be hard to take.
Nausea, vomiting, diarrhea. Some people really can't tolerate these drugs because the nausea is so bad. You know, it depends. Some people can tolerate them, some people can't.
The Dow's down 107 points. This is CBS News.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. President Biden in Wisconsin today following up last night's State of the Union speech. He's visiting a union apprenticeship training center in DeForest, just north of Madison, to highlight his jobs and economic plan. It's the second year in a row the president has visited Wisconsin after the State of the Union. Last year, Biden went to Superior. Governor Evers is blaming the murder of a Milwaukee police officer on guns. Officer Peter Jerving was the first Milwaukee cop killed in the line of duty since 2019. Evers says Jerving's death was a tragic loss due to gun violence. Republicans say it's a case of Milwaukee's failed approach to crime. In sports, Marquette lost to UConn last night, 87-72. Tonight, the Badgers try to get back in the win column at Penn State. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold,
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Monday mornings at 8 on the Shaw and on the Civic Media app.
Max Inc. Radio, we are local music with Pete from the Skin Tones.
Here, you have been warned. Not only Madison, the rest of Wisconsin and the U.S., Skin Tones, we're coming at you. We're going to be committing rock atrocities. We're fit. We're in shape. We are tight. We are muscular. We are attractive for our ages. And we are sexy as hell.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday nights, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues, from the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at WAUK Radio.
The Earl Ingram Show is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Good morning and welcome to the Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Connor. How you doing?
I'm doing all right, Earl.
That's good, man. I'm doing really fine, man. I've got a young man who I am just blown away by, you know, the strides that he's made, man. None other than County Executive of Milwaukee County, Mr. David Crowley. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. It's good to see you.
Man, it's better to see you, especially in my environment. You know? Man, I haven't had you on since you become the county executive. And
it's been a while, yeah.
Yeah, man. And for people who don't know, I remember going back with you in your first foray into politics. Mm-hmm. Oh, I mean politics. And
no offense, I get it. I get it.
And saw, and I don't know if you remember, I used to always say you're my favorite.
Yeah.
Black elected official.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Even as a young guy.
Well, that's, man, because I was your elected official. Well, I still am, but
yeah. And man, the ascension of you in that short period of time is an amazing, amazing thing. What are you, 35?
36. Yeah.
So the mayor. It's 36. What is it about 35 and 36-year-olds? 35 and 36. When I was 35 years old, man, I was trying to find my way to the bus stop.
I hear you. But, you know, I would say it's that Milwaukee Public Schools Bayview teaching.
Right, man. Yeah. So man, I'm so excited about you and what you're doing.
Thank you.
Heading the county at a time when the county was in flux and still is in flux. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about, because I remember the county executive before you, Chris Abley, and the county executive before him, and the county executive before him, mm-hmm. and they were talking about the fact that we had all these facilities that had not been, you know, kept up.
Yep.
The parks and all these things that, you know, we have always taken pride in Milwaukee County and trying to keep up with those kinds of things, but not having the resources. We're going back 25, maybe even 30 years with not being able to have the resources necessary to run the county. Where are we at now?
Great question. Well, I can definitely tell you that things have not gotten better. When you think about Milwaukee County, we have a structural deficit. And that structural deficit, so every year when we revisit our budget, figuring out, you know, can we make investments? Where do we disinvest from? We have to start with cutting $20 to $30 million every budget.
Every budget?
Every budget. And so the structural deficit has basically is created a situation to where when you think about the monies that we take in, the revenues that we take in to pay for the different types of services, right? You know, that cost is growing, and it grows at about 2.5% every year. So when you think about wages, when you think about supplies, when you think about equipment, that cost for us increases about 2.5% every year. But the issue is that because of the caps that the state has placed on local municipalities all across the state, not just Milwaukee County, we can only grow revenues by 1%. And so there's a 1.5% gap right there that says, okay, how do we pay for these different types of services? And so this is the reason why we have been going to the state to talk about the fact that we need additional revenue. I mean, even when you think about, you know, people will talk about, and you're well aware of this, the pension scandal that happened about 25, 23 years ago.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, when you think about the local property tax that we collect about $300 million in local property taxes. 110 of that money goes into the pension alone.
Are we still paying for that scandal?
We are still paying unfunded liabilities because when the scandal happened, the county was placed in a position to where do we fund services and programs and underfund the pension, or do we fund the pension and undercut the programs and services? And so what they decided to do was that, okay, we're not going to put as much money into the pension and put more money into the programs and services because those costs are continually increasing, whether you're talking about our bus systems, whether you're talking about our parks. But people also forget that we're also responsible for subsidizing our criminal justice system.
Right.
So when you think about our courts, when you think about our DAs, our public defenders, when you think about the jail, when you think about the community reintegration center, we are responsible for that, even though those are state mandates that are placed on us, yet we have to utilize our local tax dollars to pay for those services.
You know, just you taking me back, man, you're taking me back to a point in time when Milwaukee County had all these different assets and all these different things that were a part of Milwaukee County.
Yeah.
And I think back now to all those different things that Milwaukee County had and was responsible for and all those things that have been paired off to make things more palatable at the county level. But still, there's this shortage of resources.
Absolutely.
Now, there's been a constant heralding by county executives before you and mayors before Mayor Johnson about a 1% sales tax that comparable counties and cities across the nation have been allowed to raise those resources.
They have tools, right?
Yeah.
They have tools, and we don't.
So why? So is there any reason? I mean, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I can't understand why, you know, well, I do in a way. They just think that on the state level that the largest county in the state, largest city in the state, should not have resources. Nobody's asking for a handout, right? These are tools that have been used successfully across the nation.
Across the nation. I mean, you can go to all these different places. I mean, you talk about L.A., you talk about Atlanta, you talk about Denver, you talk about Miami, you talk about, you know, Pittsburgh. The list can continuously go on and on and on. And many of these communities I just named, we're actually larger than them. Right. As a city and as a count, as a city, particularly city proper, we are larger than them. But they have different tools. When you think about, you know, they have the ability to raise their own sales taxes. Right. Or in some communities they have and not advocating for this or by any means, but they have a local income tax. So individuals who live in a community, I mean, or work in a community, but don't live in that community, they still contribute to that community. Well, the issue that we have right here in Milwaukee is you think about, you know, a quarter of the tourist dollars that are spent in the state of Wisconsin are spent in Milwaukee County.
Right.
And when you think about that,
a quarter,
25% of the dollars that are spent are coming from our region. And so for us, we don't have the ability to actually leverage our own economic activity. I mean, the greatest example I can always bring up is when we had the Milwaukee Bucks run. And when you think about that Bucks run, you know, the city, any municipality, local municipality other than counties, they do not have taxing authority. Only counties have that ability, and we can only tax 0.5%. So with $30 million for the Bucks run throughout those weeks, you know, we collected 0.5% on that $30 million. And if you do that math, right, 1% of $30 million is only $300,000.
Wow, man.
Okay, so if you cut that in half, okay, now we're at about $150,000. Okay, but even if we had that 1%, right, if we were able to even get that 1%, I mean, that would be $300,000 that we would have had. I mean, even though $300,000 doesn't even pay for a Milwaukee County Transit System bus.
Right.
You know, it's not really going to get us to the place, but that's why we need real reform, because the issue at the end of the day is that if we're able to spend money in our own community, we want it to stay in our community. And so we are looking for this tool in our toolbox to be able to leverage our local dollars to solve our local problems, so we don't have to continuously go to the state and ask for more money.
So, but the state is the holdup in allowing that to happen.
And they are the holdup. I mean, we've had this shared revenue program in place since like 1911. And it has not changed since then. And when you think about it, you know, government needs to be innovative just like any business, just like any individual, just like any family, and making sure that we can continue to pay our bills, make sure that we can continue to invest in the communities that we serve. And so it's extremely important that local municipalities get the revenues that they need. And so I truly appreciate what we're seeing. The governor just released his budget and talking about the shared revenue and making sure that, you know, we take 20% of sales taxes and put dollars towards there, looking at getting the city and Milwaukee County the 1%. But we have to acknowledge that we know that this is a budget process. And so we're going to continue to work with Republican leadership, work with Joint Finance Committee members, everybody on both sides of the aisle, to make sure that we can get something done that's not just beneficial to the Milwaukee, but beneficial to the entire state.
So I can say to you, as a property owner and a taxpayer in Milwaukee County,
mm-hmm.
the frustrations that we feel with what's happening at the state level needs to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are less and less of us in Milwaukee
mm-hmm.
who are property owners,
mm-hmm.
and we see the struggle and appears to be a system that wants to see Milwaukee County fail. And so none of us want to see that happen,
mm-hmm.
because again, if we're talking about the mental health
right.
situation
right.
and the fact of the resources that are necessary alone to make sure that that's solvent,
right.
to deal with the sheriff's department,
mm-hmm.
to deal with all these other entities. I mean, the zoo, the airport.
People forget all the assets that we have. They forget what county government does. And so it takes a lot of educating.
Yeah, well, our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. It's so good to have the county executive in the studio. County executive of Milwaukee County, David Crowley, is on board. 844-967-2789. You can join the conversation. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system?
Kristen Lierley helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha, live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Ample sunshine expected today with daytime highs approaching 43. Winds out of the south, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Overcast skies tonight. A mixture of precipitation likely. Lows level off around 31. A mixture of precipitation likely. Tomorrow, highs around 35. Cloudy skies expected. About an inch of snow tonight through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 21 degrees.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM. Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789 or text us at that same number. I am honored, I always, to be in the presence of my good friend and County Executive David Crowley. Man, I'm still, man, I'm blown away, man. You know, hey, when you became the County Executive, yeah, I remember when you first were running. Mm-hmm. And I remember saying to you, you might not remember this, and I said, man, Come on, man. Why are you running? You ain't got a chance of winning. You don't remember that.
I remember a lot of people.
I said, man, you don't have a chance of winning. You know what you told me?
What?
You can't win if you don't run.
That's true.
You remember that?
I do remember that.
And man, and I never forgot that, you know, because, you know, the fact that against all odds, you didn't have the money.
No.
You know, so.
It was like a perfect storm that had happened during that time.
See, what had happened was, but you are here and you are firmly in a position of leadership. Let's go to the phone lines and Dave. Hey, Dave, how you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You have a question or comment for the county executive.
Yes. Thanks for taking the call, Earl, and welcome to the show, Mr. Crowley.
Thank you.
I have a question, though, for Mr. Crowley, and the question is this. So, obviously, you know, the county and the city of Milwaukee have been at financial pinch for a while now. Mm-hmm. That being the case, this is my question. So, you know, there's been controversy now over the public museum. And the amount of money that the county has just approved by the board, it was 14-4 from what I remember, $45 million mm-hmm. for a facility that's only going to be able to house 30% of what the current facility has right now. So 70% that you see in the current public museum would not have that displayed in the new building for almost $240 million. While the bid supposedly to fix the current museum is $250 million, which I don't believe. I think it could be done for a lot less. It doesn't make sense to build a new museum at that cost when you're going to have that much less, as far as display space. It doesn't make any sense to me. So I'm just curious where your thoughts are on that.
Oh, absolutely. I appreciate the question. I think, one, people need to understand that the public museum is technically a separate entity. It's its own entity. When it comes down to all of the artifacts or the materials that are inside the Milwaukee Public Museum, that is actually owned, and we are responsible as Milwaukee County. And so when you think about the $45 million that was given towards the bonding for this new facility, the issue with that building is we can't bond for more than anything, more than that, really, when it comes down to the current building. You just talked about the millions of dollars it would cost to renovate, right? And so for us to be looking at that $45 million, being able to partner with the state, and the state also gives some resources towards that building, is a good thing for Milwaukee County, because it would cost us a lot more. One, our accreditation is on a, was on the line when it came down to what was going to happen with that building. And so we needed to make sure that in order to keep our accreditation, to make sure that we were still looked at nationally as having one of the best museums in the Midwest, we needed to have a new building. And that was told to us by the accreditation folks. But the other thing is that even if we did not do any, if we did absolutely nothing, we lost the accreditation, we're still responsible for all of the things that we own in there. And when you think about storing, when you think about making sure that those things can go somewhere, that creates an even greater ongoing cost for us. And so this was one of the better options, if not the best option, for Milwaukee County, one, to make sure that we can have a new building and have something that people can come to. Yes, it's going to look different than what people are used to, but, I mean, that's what happens with any type of new construction. But I will say that this, again, this was one of the best options for Milwaukee County to make sure that we continue to have a public museum right here in our own community.
So, Mr. Crowley, really, really quickly, so I get what you're saying, but the thing is, why can't we just build a facility, a storage facility, that, you know, that would be, you know, close proximity to the current facility? And I did see that, you know, that there's going to be a private fundraising of $150 million for this new museum. And again, I don't understand why the county. I understand what you're saying with the bounty, the bonding and the accreditation for the museum. But that being the case, I would think at the end of the day, you could still take those artifacts and other things out of the current museum, build a storage facility close proximity to where it is, and then fix up the current building with just private funds. The county shouldn't have to.
You know what, Dave? What I will say, though, is this. You're bringing up a much more expensive option, because, one, building a building, county asset, we don't want to own any more buildings. We don't need to have any more buildings. We also then will be increasing our operational costs, because then we are the ones responsible. Again, we are the owners of the artifacts, but everything that is run by the Milwaukee Public Museum is its own separate entity.
County Executive Crowley, that museum is outdated.
Oh, it's very outdated.
So
people don't understand. The floods, the flooding issues, to making sure that we can preserve many of the artifacts and materials that we have. I mean, this is, and I get it. Like, this is something new for a lot of people, and people are like,
well, they don't want to see the streets of old Milwaukee and their affinity for the European village and all those things. Things change.
And the thing is that even you can go to the public museum, and the first thing that would change is that, you know, we've learned so much since this museum has been built, to where we have to update so much in order for things to actually be factual.
Right. clearly, it's a new time. You know, it's a new world.
Mm-hmm.
Downtown Milwaukee is under a renaissance. The new building is going to be beautiful. It's going to fit in with all the decor and the future of what Milwaukee is going to be.
Oh, absolutely.
And so as a man who lives in the city and who is going to die here, it's time for the change, right?
Oh, yeah. And this is actually another opportunity for them to increase their own revenue streams.
Yeah.
Because they don't have parking in most museums. Utilize parking as a way to create revenue. And so with them being in close proximity to Pfizer Forum, it's going to be very helpful for them.
Listen, we got to go to break. 844-967-2789. County Executive is in the studio. I'm glad he's here. We're going to have to make it happen more.
Oh, yeah.
You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. A 7.8 magnitude earthquake in Turkey and Syria has killed more than 2,600 people, and there could be more bodies trapped under buildings. This man says the shaking started in the middle of the night.
Just instinctively, we just ran for our lives out of the building. And then we saw other families just coming out, running for their lives as well from the building.
Authorities in East Palestine, Ohio are warning people a train derailment with dangerous chemicals on board could still blow up. Charles Emmix with the Red Cross.
Chaotic. A lot of people don't want to leave their house. They don't understand what the dangers are. Some of them have pets at their home, and it's hard to convince them to get out.
Retired General H.R. McMaster says that Chinese spy balloon clearly violated international law.
Part of a sustained campaign of espionage against the United States. So I'm hoping this is kind of a wake-up call for all of us.
Crews are still working to recover its pieces. CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
The Shaw 101 FM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. The reviews are in from Wisconsin after last night's State of the Union address. Senator Tammy Baldwin says she's glad President Biden recognized what Democrats are doing for working families, manufacturing in the U.S., and creating good-paying jobs. Republican Congressman Derek Van Orden counters that inflation and crime are too high and the southern border isn't secure. Biden visits Wisconsin today. Wisconsin workers waiting for their professional licenses want to know what's taking so long. The legislature's Joint Audit Committee is ordering a review of the Department of Safety and Professional Services. The average wait time for a professional license in Wisconsin was cut in half last year, but it's still 45 days. In sports, Marquette lost to UConn last night, 87-72. Tonight, the Badgers try to get back in the win column at Penn State. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Civic Media promised you something big to celebrate our new and still growing network of radio stations. When we announced the one-day $1 million advertising giveaway for Wisconsin businesses, you responded.
Just wanted to echo your sentiments about the advertising. That's really a cool deal and really remarkable.
$1 million of free advertising. Now, if you missed this chance to work with our team, go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. One of our local sales pros will get right back to you. Civicmedia.us and sponsorship.
This is Pat Greitlow from Up North News Radio. On the air, online, or on demand, make it a point to catch the first word on Wisconsin news, sports, and more weekday mornings from 6 to 8 all across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go!
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptU.
Executive David Crowley is in the studio. I'm happy he's here, man. Hey, 844-967-2789 is the number, man. So let's talk about where you see in the parks. Mm-hmm. I mean, man, Milwaukee's parks are still just a jewel, even though when I was a boy, there was not one dandelion in any park. I'm just that's how
I believe that. Hey, man, though. Hey, I believe
it was it. And Milwaukee was known All the parks and man, there was not one. You couldn't find one dandelion anywhere. But then back in those days, there were corporations here who could kind of help make sure that financially those things happen.
I mean, and we also had, you know, we also had over 1,000 park employees back then.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
You know,
right.
and we were able to do all the things that we can. I mean, folks don't understand that, like, we have about 157 parks. We got 14 golf courses, you know, and we're not even talking about the thousands of miles of trail space that we have all throughout the county. And we only have 450 employees compared to...
And falling
compared to the 1,000 that we had in the 80s and 90s,
right?
And so it has been very difficult. I mean, you got one person who is managing, you know, maybe 6 different parks doing different types of work. And so, you know, which could add up to about 3-4 Lambeau Fields. And you think about one person doing the groundskeeping on that much space is ridiculous.
Really?
Oh, yeah. People forget how big Milwaukee County parks are.
Right.
I mean, you had the football league and you had Lincoln Park.
That park.
Just right there where y'all play football, that's a couple Lambeau Fields right there.
it really is. And the upkeep of all of that, man. And the fact, you know, you can even talk about the lack of sheriff deputies, right?
Oh yeah.
And what we had. And I remember when Sheriff Artisan was the sheriff.
Mm-hmm.
And man, I don't know. We might have had, you know, 300-400 deputies.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many you have now, but it can't be.
It's definitely not enough. I mean, when you think, if you think businesses are struggling to hire folks, you can just imagine how it is for government, because we can't compete with some of the wages.
Right.
You know, we don't have the ability to say we're going to pay you more, because we're not. That's one of the reasons why we have to go to the state. I mean, we're looking at close to about just over 20% vacancy rate across Milwaukee County, the entire organization. But we can talk about, for example, some of our other departments where they got probably 40%. So when you talk about how are we staffing the jails, how are we staffing the community reintegration center, how are we staffing our park systems, how are we staffing our adult services, it's been difficult finding individuals because we haven't had the ability to pay or to increase our pay like some of the private sector has been able to do. But what I will tell you is that, like, we're looking for change makers. We're constantly hiring, looking to give people the opportunity to give back. I mean, when you think about, I mean, correctional officers, for example, you know, and for folks who don't know, you keep hearing me talk about the community reintegration centers because we renamed the House of Correction.
Right.
And we wanted to be more of a you know, yes, people are in there, you know, facing different types of consequences, but it's our job to make sure that we can return them safely into society, give them a good paying job, and give them the resources that they need so they don't come back into our building.
So just hold that thought right there, because you constantly hear people say, lock these people up and keep them locked up. That's the refrain you keep hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who say that don't have any idea of the cost of holding somebody.
Right. Right.
Somebody who stole a car.
We ain't even talking about youth costs, right? Because that cost, I mean, it's costing Milwaukee County to send one child to Lincoln Hills, if they're there for a year, it is $430,000 a year. We're spending more than $1,000 a day to lock a person up at Lincoln Hills. And you can just imagine what we could do in the community with $450,000.
You know, to say that child in Lincoln Hills, and what, 35, 40? I mean, they're not a whole lot of...
It's not a lot, no.
Okay, and who are there? And $400,000 a year... I mean, who are we talking about, man? Are we talking about somebody who's a threat to the entire world? Somebody who's going to explode a nuclear weapon?
No, exactly. When you think about the cost,
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
And yes, they have done some egregious things, but many of these are young people.
Yeah.
Who need correction, right?
I mean, absolutely. I mean, when I I grew up in 53206, 23rd and Burleigh, 22nd and Brown, 10th and Burleigh, 29th and Walnut.
Wait a minute. You couldn't have grown up in those places. You're the county executive. Well, I mean, that's... I know. You're but not that's supposed to even know about
but,
those
but,
places.
But the thing is that when I see many of these young people, I think about my own upbringing. I think about my own experience. I think about some of the stupid stuff that I did.
Yeah.
And I think about that all of us growing up, all of us who are adults right now can always look back and say, yeah, I did some stupid things.
You mean you didn't fall down out of heaven?
No. but we all did.
I know.
And I think at the end of the day, it's really about how are we introducing young people to these opportunities? Now, we know what the data was telling us before the pandemic. But then we started to see it in real time while the pandemic was here. And we've always, I think every elected official has talked about the fact that it's only going to get worse after the pandemic because of a disruption for 2 years. And now telling people to get back to normal, what is normal? And so even though we need to do that, we must understand that there's a lot of hurt. There's a lot of trauma in these communities that, and we have to figure out how we can make the necessary investments in making sure that they can put their best foot forward, contribute to their family, contribute to the community. But it's going to take all of us coming together to do that.
So let's do this, man. Let's bring another Dave up from Milwaukee. Hey, good morning, Dave. How are you? Thank you very much for the call. You have a question or comment for the county executive?
Yes. Good morning, Mr. Crowley. Thank you for this opportunity.
Good morning.
In violation of the Clean Water Act, Milwaukee County allowed two outdoor shooting ranges to operate for decades on the shores of Lake Michigan. The one near Bradford Beach closed in the early 90s. The one in Warnemont Park was allowed to operate until 2015. They left an estimated 500 tons of lead contaminating the nearshore waters of the adjacent parks. When is the county going to clean up this lead contamination?
Well, I think you're speaking directly to the issues that we're talking about the fact that we are not receiving the necessary resources needed in order to do the work that we are actually tasked to do. And so when we're starting from a deficit of $20 to $30 million every year, it hasn't been a conversation or about if we're going to make investments. We have to start with a conversation from where are we disinvesting from. And what I would say is that when we think about the needs and the tools that we're asking for the state legislature, this is when we need folks like yourself to be involved. So when we think about our local property tax dollars, our local dollars that stay here, we have the capacity to actually invest in our own community, which you're directly speaking to. So when it comes down to doing those types of things, it is an issue of really making sure we have the resources, to be quite honest.
I agree with you, yes, and I appreciate that. I just want to make sure it's on the docket that you know it's not going to be forgotten about.
Mm-hmm.
My understanding, the DNR says it takes 300 years for lead shot to totally dissolve. So that 500 tons of lead shot is slowly dissolving in the waters of Lake Michigan, and they're within a mile of the water intakes, both on near Bradford Beach and off Watermont Park.
Hey, Dave, it's a great question as always. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Gary from Sussex. Sure. Good morning, Gary. You say what?
Hey, I don't know if I ever told you that my son was locked up in prison for doing some home burglaries. Okay. Now I raised my son not to do this kind of stuff, but he got involved in drugs. He was sentenced to prison for 7 years. He came out. Now he owns his own business. He's married. He's got kids.
Mm-hmm.
He's totally different. I am glad, and I begged the judge to put him in the prison because he needed it. He was committing small crimes. It wasn't also one day he decided to break into a house.
So Gary.
It started out breaking in the cart. No, let me finish.
No. So listen, man. For the sake of time, because right. We're up against a break, okay. What is your question?
My question is to send some young person for stealing an old piece of junk used car to jail for a year, if that, and we pay $450,000 a year to keep this guy locked up. And for him to change because he got consequences, I think that's $450,000 well spent, as far as I'm concerned. And to keep people from getting killed from these kids driving these cars driving through Milwaukee. I'm in Milwaukee right now heading over to my job, and I'm always looking over my shoulder watching some guy passing me on the right, you know, in the parking area. So, yeah, no, these kids need to be thrown into jail, get some consequences, and maybe turn out like my son, getting out of prison and becoming a good, productive citizen. And he's been out for 20 years now.
So let's let the executive respond to your
Absolutely. So no one is saying that people shouldn't deal with the consequences. That is not the question or the conversation that we're having. We're talking about the type of cost that it takes. And when I'm talking about this cost, right, this is only for us as Milwaukee County. This isn't a thing that's happening across the state. This is something that's directly affecting us right here. But even if we are saying that we should deal these young people consequences, which we should, what I'm saying is that we have the ability to actually invest upstream to stop these young people from getting into these types of situations in the first place.
I agree.
But the problem is that but the problem is that I have to spend all my money on the prison system. You know, and so we have a program called Credible Messengers. Incredible Messengers, we hire people who have been through the system themselves, who have faced adversities, and they help to mentor and support the young people and their families, right? And that's a program that we put about $2 million in last couple of years. 77% of the young people who went through that program did not come back to our doors. They did not reoffend. And what I'm saying is that, well, we can't invest as much into the Credible Messengers program because we have to set aside dollars and we have to pay for things like Lincoln Hills. And so if I'm spending, you know, $8 million on Lincoln Hills,
but
I only got like $1 million towards the Credible Messengers program, you can just imagine what more I could do if I'm able to invest that on the front end. And that's what we're really speaking to, is when we're able to invest on the front end upstream on the issues, we save a lot more money on the back end, i.e. prisons, to make sure that we can make investments for everyone.
And Gary, just so you know, that is what I am doing with Voices of the Elders,
a program that
we created. So I know, but you made the statement of it's worth it to spend the $400,000, you know, to keep the people locked up.
But the thing is, we need consequences to these kids, not clapping my hand on them out.
We agree with you on that. We agree with you on that.
Listen, got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. The county executive himself is in the studio. We'll be right back. Convido meu amor, quero em Copacabana ver o sol nascer, ou então Ipanema o alvorecer. Cariocas de fato, curtense barato.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
It makes me smile and you have a piano, but if you can play the Peanuts theme song.
Oh my gosh.
You know he can.
Yes.
On the Devil's Radio.
Sync Radio, Saturday night, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Clear skies this afternoon with a high of 43. Winds out of the south, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Overcast tonight, a mixture of precipitation likely, lows level off around 31. Mixed precipitation likely tomorrow, high of 35, cloudy skies expected. About an inch of snow tonight through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 21 degrees.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
At 844-967-2789, you can text us at that same number. Man, it's so good to have the county executive in the studio, man.
It's been a good time.
Yeah, well, we got to do this more often.
We do.
And because to be able to have a county executive in the studio, and I feel privileged and honored, man, but I also know that I have to speak for the other taxpayers who don't get to ask the questions, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
And so when we're watching all of these different things that are going on the state level and on the county level,
mm-hmm.
and even though, man, you handled it with aplomb, you handled it well.
Thank you.
We know they're serious. These are serious.
Oh, yeah.
Serious issues.
Yeah.
That stand to derail the county.
Yeah.
And so. You know, you and I can laugh and joke a little bit about things, but you are in serious dialogue and conversations with those other entities and people on the county level,
yep.
to try to keep the county afloat.
We have to. And, you know, this is a real campaign, you know, and I mean, to have different organizations, not just within the city and within the county, but even across the state, they also understand the need to make sure that Milwaukee County and the city of Milwaukee has the tools that it needs, you know, to make sure that we're contributing to the economic engine, you know, the economic vitality of the entire state. And so, you know, you drop a dime in Milwaukee, it's going to ripple across this state. And so, you know, one of the things that the mayor and I was focused on is, you know, how do we start to tell our story, talk about what we've done, talk about, you know, and the crisis that we're really facing when it comes down to the fiscal cliff. And so we started to do a tour. We was in Green Bay. We was in, you know, Chippewa Falls. We've been in Rhinelander.
How were you received?
You know, when people first brought, you know, I would say that we were well received. I think that people were wondering, like, why are you here? You know, but we had to make the connection. I mean, yeah, you go to Chippewa Falls. It's nice to do the tapping of the Golden Keg at Lion and Kugel. But you're at, then they're like, why are you at Lion and Kugel? But it's just like, okay, if we can't make the necessary investments in our own community, and we lose a top business like a Morrison Coors, how does that affect Chippewa Falls? Or if we lose a top business like Harley Davidson, who contracts with other manufacturers across the state, how does that affect the rest of the state? You know, and so for us, it was really about making the case and really stepping outside of our geographical comfort zone, if you will, to really start building relationships, because we know, and you know this, Milwaukee, Democrat or Republican, has always been the political lightning rod.
Yes.
And so it is an understanding the history that the city and the county has had with the entire state, we have to change the narrative. And the only way to do that is to continue to go out there, not just build relationships with other elected officials, but build relationships with community members who understand the value of Milwaukee to Wisconsin.
So clearly across the state, you've traveled, rural areas somehow think that Milwaukee and Milwaukee County are getting all the resources.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. do you have to explain that to those areas?
Absolutely.
Because they don't know, but they've been told that the reason they can't move forward is because we're getting all the action.
Well, which is far from the truth, you know, because, right. But I think now while you go to all these different communities and you say, you know what, Brookfield is just like the city of Milwaukee right now. City of Waukesha is just like the city of Milwaukee right now. Green Bay is just like the city of Milwaukee. Wausau is like the city of Milwaukee. And they're like, well, how? And then you talk about the struggle, then people say, oh, I didn't know. Oh, I didn't know. Oh, you know, I remember, you know, while we were doing all this work, and, you know, Mayor Johnson, if you're listening, I'm going to talk about something that came my way related to the police department. We were talking to a conservative, and they were like, I can't believe that you're cutting, you know, the police department. And it's just like, cutting the police department? What do you mean? You know, one, well, people need to understand that he put an extra $20 million into the police department, but that doesn't equate to more officers. The issue is that things cost more. It costs more to mow the grass. It costs more to pick up the garbage. It costs more to police. It costs more to put out fires. It costs more to do everything. But the issue is that we're not receiving enough resources to even pay for the basic quality of life amenities that everybody deserves, no matter where you live. And that's what this is about. This is about bringing in enough resources so we can improve the quality of life for everyone, no matter what community they live in the city and in the county.
You know, Executive Crowley, it always angered me to hear people on the state level say, politricksters and others, Milwaukee is cutting back on law enforcement. There were 200 officers short before, and now it's higher than that, and they don't want the law enforcement officers. And I would say to them, man, do you have any idea about the pensions
that
have to be paid and the liabilities that the city and the county are responsible for law enforcement?
Yes.
And the fire department.
Yeah.
And when you look at the percentage of the tax dollars that go into those things, you have no choice but to say we're not going to replace somebody.
Right.
Because as a taxpayer, I want to make sure my garbage is picked up. And I want to make sure that the streets are plowed.
Absolutely.
And that the grass is cut. And so if people outside of the city and the county, Milwaukee County, can say, we want, there should be more paid to law enforcement. We need more law enforcement. Well, not telling me, as a taxpayer in the city where I live,
increase your taxes.
Yeah, well, property taxes can only be increased so much.
I mean, absolutely, they can only be increased so much, and we don't want to price people out of living in their own homes just to do the taxes.
Right.
And what a lot of people have to understand, particularly for the city of Milwaukee County, something that predates, you know, many of my predecessors, the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County are the only two municipalities in our entire state that has its own pension fund.
Right.
So when it comes down to the scale of our issue, that is one of the reasons why. And so all of this includes pension reform for us. You know, so it's important for folks to understand that we want to take care of our obligations. We want to make sure that those retirees who've done their service, they continue to get their pension, and everyone who's in those pensions, they get their obligations once they decide to retire. And so we're looking to do a soft freeze, making sure we can continue to contribute to that pension, and then moving forward, new hires go into the Wisconsin retirement system, which is where everyone is within. And so that's going to be helpful. That's for a long-term strategy. It's some short-term pain there. But that's a part, when people don't understand, that's a $3 billion reform for Milwaukee County.
As much as I hate it, we got to go.
I know.
And, man, I'm honored. We got to find a way
We got to do this.
All right, we're going to make it happen.
All right.
Thank you. We got to go to break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. No more, no less.
Hey, we got a big Wisconsin Supreme Court race this spring, and whoever wins will have a huge say over your freedom to vote, your freedom to make health care decisions, your freedom to have fair representation. So please listen to the advice from Drew Holiday and Brooke Lopez of our Milwaukee Bucks, and make sure you vote in the primary on February 21st.
Hey, Wisconsinites, Drew Holiday here.
And Brooke Lopez here.
I want you to make sure you're registered to vote.
It's more important now than ever because politicians are trying to restrict our freedom to vote.
I think I know why.
They're worried about our power.
So they want to take it away.
Don't let them do that.
You've got to block that shot.
So please register to vote and get out to vote. Just go to myvote.wi.gov.
Myvote.wi.gov.
Defend your right to vote and exercise your freedom to vote.
Paid for by the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, WisDC.org, which is solely responsible for the content of this advertising, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.